We're going to pray. But as we do that, I'm just going to ask that as we come to this passage, a passage that we are pretty familiar with, even if you don't come to church a lot, I'm sure you've heard many a times. And so we're going to pray that our eyes would be opened again to the truth and the beauty of this passage, and that our ears would be opened again to hear it afresh, to have it speak to us in real time. So would you pray with me as we do that? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your goodness in our lives. Lord, I thank you that we are all here gathered in celebration of all that you have done and all that you continue to do. Lord, as we approach another Christmas, as we hear the wonderful, beautiful, rich stories of the birth of your Son, our Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would, through the power of your Spirit, enable us to see it afresh. We would see the beauty and the richness of this passage, that we wouldn't just take it for granted or we wouldn't be blasé about it, but that we would hear it and hold it. Pray that we hear it afresh, that you would speak to each one of us. We ask, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified. Amen. Christmas is a special time of year. I can say that now with all honesty and integrity. I used to say, oh, Christmas is a great time of year, but internally I just hated Christmas, really. It was a couple of years ago here, not long started here, and I had a revelation from God that Christmas was not about my past, it wasn't about my family and all of the dramas that had gone along with Christmas, but it was about the glory and majesty of Jesus. And it impacted me in a whole new way. And so since then, I've loved Christmas, including after being away for 9 days on a mission, hanging out with schoolies and having very little sleep. I arrived back from the airport to my kids, walking through the door, grabbing hold of me and going, Dad's home, it's Christmas tree time. I was like, excellent, I'm awake for this. And so I sat there with my kids for the next 2 hours because they're perfectionists and, you know, putting on the baubles and other bits and the lights of the Christmas tree. I kind of stopped halfway through. I needed to lie down. It's, you know, it's stressful. And so I was watching my kids and I realized that this is a beautiful moment. Now, there was peace in my family, that there was a joy and a celebration in my family that I wanted to hold on to. And I started thinking, actually, Christmas time is a really special time of the year. It's a time where the world seeks peace. It seeks joy and hope. Extraordinary things happen at Christmas time. Like in World War I on Christmas Eve, on Flanders Ranges, when German troops set up little trees with lights on them and started to sing songs. And where the English and the French soldiers on the opposite side of the trenches, too, started to sing songs. Christmas carols, in fact. And two warring enemies who had been shooting at one another, attempting to kill one another, had Christmas trees and, in different languages, singing songs of joy. So many of the German soldiers at that time had worked in England and certainly had enough English to kind of make communication happen. And strangely enough, on the war field, there was an unofficial truce that was made between the Germans and the English and the French. This truce at Christmas Eve, on Christmas Eve, was so rich that they actually left their bunkers and headed up onto the warfield, up onto the battleground. And they gathered up their comrades and they buried them. And they shook hands. And as one soldier writes, lo and behold, the Fritz and us English got together because a Scot gave us a ball and we played football. It's extraordinary, isn't it? This one Christmas Eve, they're playing soccer on frozen ground and they did not care. Another soldier writes back to his mum and dad. He's saying, you wouldn't believe it. Only hours before, we were shooting to kill. And hours after, again, shooting to kill. But in the midst of it, the Fritz beat us 2-0. It's just, we come to Christmas and there's this hope of peace and a hope of joy. But it's so often the case within humanity, the peace in which we know and we try to create and manufacture only lasts just a little while. And one particular German general was unimpressed with what was taking place and ordered them back into the trenches to fire upon one another. And for what seems a mile, apparently, in terms of the writings, for days, shells were going off. They were just shot at the moon. Peace reigned just for an instant. On one Christmas Eve. However fleeting, it was a glimpse. There's an even greater story of peace that entered into the world at Christmas, the first Christmas. The story that we know oh so well. The story we heard read for us. The story of a peace that was ushered into the world, not for a fleeting moment, but for eternity. We read it in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. First Christmas. Seems so simple. Because of the need for a census, because of a government-initiated census, that there's this young family who packed themselves up to head on down to register so that they could be taxed more efficiently by those who are in charge. Merry Christmas. As they walk into this town, a town that is fairly minimalist, small little village, comes a woman and her husband with a woman who is bursting at the seams. Just can't find anywhere to live, or at least stay the night. Until they find themselves in a barn and you know the rest. Well, do you know the rest? Do you truly know the rest? Because this baby that was born is no simple little child. In the Roman world, there was no greater excitement than when Caesar himself was born. When Caesar Augustus was born, the declarations went out that a savior was born, that this was good news for the nation and the empire of Rome, that there was one who would reign on high and that all things would be good for the nation. Yet, this simple child has an even greater declaration than that. There's no Roman guard declaring his birth. No. From verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. There's no need for the Roman guard to be coming out and declaring that Caesar was here. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, those who were peasants, those who could barely feed their family, and an angel of the Lord appears to these simpletons and says, "It's okay. Let me tell you that the best news of all is come. The good news is here. Forget Caesar, forget another king who rules over you. There's better news. And he is a savior. And he will save you, and he is here. The one that we've been anticipating for centuries is here. He has been born. The child has been born." Get hold of the message. It's the greatest message you'll ever know. Didn't need Romans who were paid to declare the message. It was an angel of the Lord. This was a divine appointment. This was the moment where heaven broke into earth. A moment when a Savior, the true Savior, was born. And in that very instance, as those angels ushered the words that it is good news, that there is a Savior who was born, it put Rome on notice. Who's in control, really? Caesar thought he was in control, that he was the one who was God, that he was the one who ushered and orchestrated all that was taking place in the world. And an angel turns up and says, "Put your resume together, champ. You're in trouble. A baby has been born and he will rule. He will save our people." At that moment, the angel declares that Jesus is this Isaiah-type figure, this one that the nation of Israel had been dreaming about, that there would be a one who would redeem all of Israel and would gather up the people and bring them to God himself, where they would know safety and security, where they would no longer feel the pain and the rod of a tyrant. And the angel says, "Today is that day. Today is that day." What is this great news? The great news is there is a king who reigns on high. A king who brings something more than we could ever imagine or dream about. It's something that will radically transform each and one of our lives. It did that first Christmas, and it does this Christmas, and will continue forever and ever. One angel declares the good news. And all of a sudden, a whole army of angels rock on up for the next bit. Suddenly, a great army of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." Not one angel declaring that the good news has come. Now there's an army. There's an army that says there is a whole new world order, and there is an army who is ushering in this good news. And the good news is this, that those who God finds favor, you will have peace. Peace. You will no longer have pain separating you. You will know ultimate peace. There won't be someone who rules over you, that you will be subjected to the ultimate king who will love you and care for you and protect you and guide you. There is peace, and glory to God for it. What is this peace the angels are talking about? Is it the peace where nations will no longer fight against one another? That there will be no longer pain and suffering in the world? Well, yes, ultimately it is that kind of peace. But even more than that, there is an even greater peace that needs to come before that. The peace between God and his people. Between the God of all creation, the one who hangs the stars in the sky, the one who created all of humanity in his own image. The greatest need for peace is not between nations, but the greatest need for peace is between humanity and God. And it is that peace that the angels declare. The whole army of angels singing is one, that there is a God who reigns on high and that through Christ he ushers in a peace that we can enjoy. A peace that we can celebrate. One that when Christmas rolls around, we sing with all that we have, glory to God in the highest for what he has done. See, the peace that Jesus ushers in breathes new life to those who find the favor of God, those who seek God and know his grace. This child that entered into the world would ultimately bring about peace through death, his death on a cross. That he would enter in this world and live a life that was always meant to be lived. A life that was always meant to be lived for the honor and glory of God. One where God would rule, where he would be the ultimate Caesar, and that we would worship him with hearts unabandoned. That we would welcome his rule in our lives because he is good. And what he desires for us is so much better than anything we could want for ourselves. Yet because of our rejection of that God, we put pain and suffering. We rejected God and we felt the wrath of that. There's a broken relationship between us and the God of all creation. And what this baby offers is a way for peace to be stitched together again. As he lives his life and died on the cross so that we could have life, he offers us peace. Where we enter back into his rule and his reign. Where we know his grace and his mercy and his provision. Do you know that our relationship with God is busted? That what we need more than anything at Christmas time is the peace of God? The peace where God would stitch us again back to himself. Where he would reign on the throne of our lives. Where we would willingly subject ourselves to his rule and reign. That's what the angel declared. It is our greatest need. And it's the greatest need that can only be met and found in Jesus. So we recognize our brokenness. We accept the peace that Christ offers. I don't know you. I don't know all of you. I don't know where you're at. But Christmas is so much, much more than just gathering together as friends and family to drink lots, to eat plenty, and to give each other gifts made in China. This is a chance for us to come together and to truly know and experience the grace and peace of God himself. For when we truly know the grace and peace of God, our relationships with one another are literally transformed. Where there's no longer brokenness between ourselves because we know who God is and his grace and his mercy, his forgiveness for us, and it literally flows out into our other relationships. And so we come at Christmas and we seek peace and restitution in our relationships because that is what Christ has modeled for us on the first Christmas. We don't come to give gifts. We come to celebrate the true giver of life. One who was born in a manger. One who was wrapped in cloth. The shepherds, no doubt, after seeing not one angel, but actually an army of angels, were a little bit surprised, not knowing quite what to do with themselves. They, I suppose, naturally run off and try and discover who this kid is. So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. But the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and they had seen, which were just as they had been told. How many times have you heard this message? How many times have you come to church at Christmas time and heard the message of this little baby who was born in a manger, who was God-man and who had died? How many times have you heard it? How many times have you seen this story played out time and time and time again? How many times have you ignored it? How many times have you just said, look, it's a great message and I feel like I'm doing my bit when I turn up to Christmas and I kind of go off to church and I feel like I'm all holy now and then I kind of leave and do what I need to do and I'll kind of tick rack around next year and we'll kind of tick the box again and we'll just keep going. How many times have we heard the message of the love of God and what He offers in life, restoring us and giving us the peace of God, and we've chosen to ignore it and reject it? How many of our lives are marked with suffering and pain because of broken relationships, and all that we desire is peace? We fill it full of other things, expecting that that would fill the gap. And then we're surprised when it doesn't. How many times have you seen and turned your eyes away? How many times have you heard and plugged your ears? Maybe today is the opportunity for you to respond as the shepherds did. That they had seen and they had heard and they praised God for it. Is it time to praise God for what He has done? Or is it another year of putting our hands in our ears and closing our eyes? I'm going to pray in a minute. As I do that, you tonight want to respond to the truth of the gospel, that this baby was God Himself. That this baby grew up to live the life, to die on the cross so that you didn't have to. That this baby was the one who paid the penalty for our sin and our brokenness before God. That this man now offers you eternal peace. You want to respond to that message tonight and give your life to Christ, then I encourage you to do that. Don't let this be another Christmas that just rolls around. I know the message, thanks. Open your eyes. See afresh. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for all that You have done, all that You are. You truly are the Lord of all, that You reign on high, that You are in control of all things. We thank You, Lord, that You have ushered in peace. Peace with God. And we thank You that You will come again and You will restore all things where the whole world, nations and rulers would know ultimate peace, where there will be no more pain and no more suffering. Lord, I pray that You would impact each one of us in this room tonight. That we would hear the truth, we would see the reality of who You are, Jesus, and respond accordingly. That we would come with praise, glorifying Your name. Friends, if you want to respond to the message, I just encourage you to pray in your heart these words after me. God, I need Your peace. I need peace with you. I'm sorry that we have had a broken relationship. Forgive me my rejection of you. Thank you that I now know your peace. That this Christmas is my first with you as King, as Lord, as Savior of my life. Amen. Friends, if you want to take out a care card that's in front of you, there's two sides. If you want to, if you're a regular and you want to let us know that you're here, it's great that you would do that. I would love to pray for you. If you have prayer requests, please put that down. If you're a visitor, there's a visitor side. Would love to know that you were here. I'd love to get in contact with you, let you know more about who we are and what we do here at Ngawi Baptist Church. Also, if you prayed and responded to that message, we ask that you would let us know as well. We'd love to be praying with you, love to be praying for you, and letting you know more of who Jesus is.